Let's begin with prayer. Father, we are thankful again for this day. Thank you that in spite of the cold, we have a warm building and warm cars, and that we can still gather together here to do those things that are dear to our hearts, to love you and serve you and hear your word. I do pray, Father, that you would now, by your Spirit, come into the hearts of each person that is sitting here. Father, that you would revive us, that you would teach us, that you would do for us things that we don't even want done. I pray that you would change our hearts to be like Christ in this meeting while we sit here together. I pray, Father, that this would be a time of profit for our souls. Amen. All right, Jacqueline, I have a question for you. Not picking on you specifically. Have you ever had anybody that you know, a friend or anybody, tell you that this church has extra biblical rules or standards? I think probably everybody in this room has heard that sometime, somewhere, from somebody. Did you believe them? You don't have to tell me that one. If you listen to me tonight, next time you hear somebody say something like that, you slap them in the face, okay? I'll tell you why. Listen to this one little illustration carefully here. When you sit down to supper, and there is a turkey on the table, and there's potatoes on the table, and there's gravy, and there's stuffing, and there's cranberry sauce, and there's pumpkin pie, and there's six other items, you can identify every one of those things. And we'll call those things Bible commands, okay? You can identify every single one of those things, but you know how that food will benefit your body? When you digest it. And everybody in this room knows what that food looks like after it is digested. And you can't identify it anymore. Now, when you come to the Scriptures and you read the Word of God and God says, do this and do this and do this, those things are easy to understand. But when you take those commandments into your life and you digest them and you interpret them into a lifestyle, they oftentimes lead you into many, many things that are the center of God's will that God never says anything about specifically. All right? I am going to give you guys one extra biblical rule tonight, because as far as I have been listening for 30 years in this church, I have never heard anybody in this pulpit give a rule out that was non-biblical. Now, let me qualify that really quickly. I have heard and I have said things that have been off balance a little bit. Okay? That is true. I have seen the church take stands on things that were a little bit skewed, but they were always based on a very solid biblical principle, slightly misapplied. I've never heard an unbiblical rule spoken from this pulpit. So I'm going to give you one tonight. I made it up. If you are on your way to church and you see a hippopotamus crossing the street when you are coming to church, you do not have to give anything to God for the rest of that year. But if you are on your way to church and you see a crow in the road, you owe God your entire income for the rest of that year. Right? That's my own rule. You won't find that one in the Bible. Now,
I'm just giving that to you tonight for one specific reason, because next time somebody comes to you and tells you that there's extra biblical rules here in this church, you guys are going to need something to talk about. So I want you to have at least one. All right? So you can take that one, you can write it in the back of your Bibles, add it to the scripture if you want to, and say, our church believes this. If you see a hippopotamus crossing the road, you don't owe God anything that year. But if you see a crow in the road on your way to church, you owe God the rest of your income for the rest of that year. All right, that's your new rule. Now, we're going to go and we're going to look at the lives of Abraham and Lot. We're going to try and distinguish, if we can, a little bit tonight, how Abraham chose to live versus how Lot chose to live and where it took them. And let me tell you, I'm only going to focus on one little teeny aspect of what we see happen in their lives, because there are many, many, many things that happen in a person's life that dictate how their lives turn out. Okay? We're not going to say that everything that happened in Abraham's life or in Lot's life was based on the things that I'm talking about tonight. But what we're going to do is we're going to look at some one specific difference between their two lives and how they probably decided to do what they decided to do and the difference it made. So we'll start in Genesis chapter 12. And I'm going to be reading a number of lengthy portions out of Genesis to get this story, which we're all familiar with, but I like reading them anyway. So here we go. Genesis chapter 12. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation and will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gotten, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, "Unto thy seed will I give this land." And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Now, if you will, we have the beginning here of it's not quite the beginning, because Abraham and Lot and Abraham's father have already left their land and have come out of the country where they grew up. But Abraham's father just died. And so Abraham now decides to finish the journey into the land of Canaan that the Lord said, told him to take. And so he comes into the land of Canaan with his brother's son, whose name was Lot. When he gets, before he came into the land of Canaan, God said to him, "I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." God had given to Abraham the promise that of Abraham's seed, he was going to make a nation that was going to bless the entire world. Now, we're going to call Abraham now the people of God. Okay? We're going to call Abraham the church with extra biblical rules. All right? Every church that exists on the face of the earth who believes in any kind of holiness whatsoever has extra biblical rules. However, they're all biblical. Okay? What we mean when we say extra biblical rules is we mean we take the things that God said in the scriptures and we decide a course of life based on those things. Now, when unspiritual people look at the people of God and see them living in a manner that they don't like, they say, oh, a church with extra biblical rules. Now, I'm just going to agree with them tonight. I'm just going to say we've got them. However, they're not extra biblical. They're actually very biblical because they're completely based on everything that God says. So here we've got Abraham. He is the church with extra biblical rules. You can hear this out as we go. See if you do or don't agree with what I'm saying. But I believe what I'm saying is absolutely right. Abraham is the church now with extra biblical rules. He's got the blessing of God on him. He comes into the land and God meets him in the land and says, unto thy seed will I give this land. Now, the promises that were given to Abraham here came with a command. The blessing, God says he's going to make of Abraham a great nation, and he says he's going to give him the land. But God had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. And until you take that command that God gave to Abraham, you cannot give Abraham the blessings that God gave him. Because the blessings that God gave Abraham were based on the fact that God said, I know him, that he's going to command his household after him, and they're going to serve me. That's what God said later. He said, I'm giving these promises to Abraham because I know who he is, and he's going to serve me. And the reason that God told Abraham to separate from his family and from his country and from all the people he was with is because those people were not serving him. Now let me bring an extra biblical rule out of this right now. If Abraham was to leave his father's house and leave his country and go into a land that God was going to show him and God was going to make of him a nation and God was going to bless his nation, was it reasonable for Abraham to assume that when he came into the land of Canaan, he was not to join the nations that were already there that were worshiping idols? Was that right for Abraham to assume? Okay, it was right. So Abraham says, God said, leave these people and go here. So Abraham, if he were to leave those people and go join people who were worse than the people he left, he would be not in the will of God. But if he were to leave the people that God said and go join the people who God didn't say anything at all about, if he were to leave the people God told him to leave and go refuse to join the people that God didn't say anything about and teach Lot that he should not join the people who God didn't say anything about, he has an extra biblical standard in everybody's eyes. He's not following the word of God at that point, because God didn't say anything about the people in the land of Canaan. He only said something about the people in his own land. Now let me tell you something. When you get people who make distinctions of that nature on biblical things, you have got one little problem on your hand. You have got a person who is unsubmitted to the will of God and does not love the things of God, does not love the word of God, and does not want to serve God. That's the only problem. That's it. Because Abraham, it was the only proper application for Abraham to make that when he was to leave his country and go, and God was going to make a new nation out of him, and he was going to bless him, and he was going to bless all the nations of the world through him, it was only reasonable that he was not to go into the land of Canaan and join the wicked nations that were there. Now, God did tell Abraham that that he was going to actually drive those nations out. But he hadn't told him yet. In fact, he didn't tell him till many, 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 many years later. He didn't tell Abraham that he was going to do that. So Abraham didn't know when he came into the land of Canaan that God was going to get rid of all the nations that were currently in the land. But all he needed to do was see the fact that they weren't serving God to know that he was to be separate from them. This is the thing that Abraham and Lot chose to do different. You see, Abraham and Lot both left the land that they grew up in. They both left their father's house. They both left their country. They both went into the land of Canaan. But Abraham stayed separate in the land of Canaan, and Lot joined with the people of the land, specifically Sodom. It was the only real thing that the two of them did differently with their lives. So we have the call in chapter 12, and in chapter 13 we have the separation. It says, Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, because there had been a famine in the land, and they had gone out of the land for a short time down to Egypt. Okay, so we come back in at this time. Abraham went up out of the land of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and he pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked, and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. I don't know if you guys at all noticed this or not, but as we go through the passage about Abraham and Lot, you see over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, Abraham's offering a sacrifice. Abraham's offering a sacrifice. Abraham's offering a sacrifice. You don't read that about Lot. What's the difference? Well, I'm going to pretend that we're in the 20th century right now with this story, and I'm going to bring church into this. You notice that Abraham and Lot have both done the same thing. They both come out of Egypt, both come out of their father's house, both come out of the country, out of their kindred, in obedience to the command of God, get thee out. And they both come into the land of Canaan. But now, there is a disagreement between them. Now I'm just going to pretend right now. I said Abraham is the church with extra biblical rules. Now Lot is the church that is very biblical. Lot only does the things that the Bible says. Lot does not add things to the scripture like Rhinelander congregation does. Lot does not make up hoodlum stories and pass them out to the people, like me and Ezra do. Lot is a good man who is biblical in his thinking. Lot has obeyed God. He has come out of the country. He has done everything God has told him to do. But the problem was, God told him to separate from his kindred because his kindred didn't serve God. And now the men of Sodom were sinners exceedingly before the Lord. But here we have it. We've got the two churches now going. Because we've got one church so far. We've got Abraham and Lot. They're together in one church. But there's disagreement in the church. Because one of the people holds to extra-biblical rules and one of them holds to keeping the Bible only. Abraham's the bad guy now and Lot is the good guy. So there's disagreement in the church. And as they begin to disagree, they decide it would be better to have separate churches and not fight than to stay together and have tension in the church. And so Abraham says to Lot, go back to the land you came from. Go back and join your own country. Go back and join the people that you left. No, he didn't. He didn't say any such thing. Abraham said to Lot, lift up your eyes and look around you and choose a place where you want to be in the land God told them to go to. And he said, whatever you choose, I'll choose a different spot so we don't have to fight. And so Lot did. He saw the plain by Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, I think I'll go here. And I'm going to bring this into the modern day. I'm going to talk as though I was talking to you right now. I'm going to be Abraham. And Abraham, with his false understanding of Christianity, sat Lot down when Lot was going to make this choice. And Abraham said to Lot, before we separate, I'm going to give you one warning. He said, I believe that when God sent us into the land of Canaan, he meant for us to stay entirely separate from the people of the land here. He said, I have good reason to believe this, but we've talked about this over and over again, and you don't see eye to eye with me on this. I understand it, but I'm going to tell you what's right anyway. God does not want us coming to the land of Canaan and joining with these wicked sinners who are worse than the people we left from our own country. He wants us separate. He wants us serving him. But I'm going to tell you, if you go down there by Sodom and Gomorrah and you get hooked up with those people, it's going to spell disaster for your life. And Lot looked back at Abraham and he said, Abraham, we've been over this 100 times already. Your standard is not biblical. God never said anything to either one of us about Sodom or Gomorrah. He never told us to stay separated from them. They are in the land of Canaan. They're in the land that God sent us to. You can keep your opinions to yourself in your own little church up here. There's bigger churches down there, and I'm going to be a part of the bigger ministry. Now, of course, this is not the conversation that really took place between Abraham and Lot. You guys understand this. But this is the way it generally goes between people who hold to the Bible and people who don't hold to the Bible. Now let me restate. Abraham with extra biblical rules is not have actually extra biblical rules. The only thing he's doing is he's taking the Word of God and he is applying it to his life. And Lot, who wants to stand only on the Word of God, is actually chucking the Word of God out his window. Okay. Abraham is actually the one who's standing on the Word of God, and Lot is letting it go. But oftentimes when we have conversation about stuff like this, it actually would appear to the average eye that Abraham's in the wrong and Lot is in the right. But Lot separates. And he goes and he dwells by Sodom. He goes and he dwells by Sodom. Now, we had in chapter 12, we had the call. In chapter 13, we have the separation. They both started out right. They both did the right thing at the call. But not too long after, they couldn't agree with each other. And so there was a separation. And now you're going to begin to see, as you watch the two lives unfold, you're going to begin to see Abraham succeed in life and Lot fail in life as the story begins to unfold through the chapters of Genesis. So in chapter 14, Abraham has to deliver Lot. You know what happened. The kings gathered together against Sodom and Gomorrah, and they won the battle, and they took everybody that they could get their hands on from Sodom and Gomorrah captive. They carried them away. They took all the stuff out of the city. They carried it away. Lot went, his wife went, his daughters went, his stuff went, the king's stuff went. Everything got cleared out of the city by the army. And Abraham, sitting up here in the land of Canaan, hears about it. Now, it just so happens that Abraham has grown to be a very powerful man. He doesn't have a kingdom. He doesn't have a big church. He doesn't have a walled city. All he's got is some servants in his household. And God. And so it says in chapter 14, well, I'm not even going to waste the time to read it. Abraham went, he had a battle with the king. He gathered all the stuff together. He got Lot. He got his wife. He got his daughters. He got all his stuff. He got all the stuff that belonged to the king of Sodom. He brought all the stuff back and he returned it to the city. And it says in verse 21, the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself." And Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have lift up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abraham rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me," etc. Now here we go again, Abraham, poor Abraham. He doesn't get it. He's making all these extra biblical rules for himself. He has an opportunity right here in the face of an ungodly king who is powerful and successful, except that he can't defend his own city. He has an opportunity to take all the goods from the whole city of Sodom for himself. The king came to Abraham. The king had lost. The king had lost everything. And the king comes to Abraham after Abraham recovers it all and says, "Listen, give me my people back and take everything else for yourself." And Abraham said, "I'm serving God, and you are a wicked man, and there's not fellowship between us. And I am not taking your stuff. You are not blessing my life. There's no fellowship between us." And I see Abraham walking into the city of Sodom with Lot, bringing Lot home to his house, and going in the door with him, and sitting down to supper with him. And as they sat at the table, I hear Abraham bring the story up to Lot again. "Lot, do you understand the danger that you are putting yourself in by being with these ungodly people? Do you see now how it's hurting you? Do you see the difference between me and my family up there in the land of Canaan by ourselves and you in here in the midst of this ungodly people? Can you see the difference? Lot was affected that time because he was hurting. But he couldn't see the difference. And because he had a false understanding of applying the Word of God to his life, he told Abraham he had a much bigger ministry there in Sodom than Abraham had where he was. In fact, he told Abraham that the king of Sodom had made him one of the rulers of the city, and he was changing things there for them. He told Abraham that he was sitting in the gate with the elders of the city. He told Abraham that he was on the payroll of the king. And he said, I did what God told me to do. I left the land that he told me to leave, and I came to the land of Canaan, and I'm here serving him. And you know what? Lot, the Bible tells us, was a righteous man. Lot did not go into the city of Sodom and start doing all the sin that they were doing. But he did incorrectly apply the words of God in his life. This wasn't the first time, this wasn't the only time Lot had to be delivered. The next one comes in Genesis chapter 18. Because now it's not the kings of the country that are coming against the land of Sodom, but it is God. Now God is going to come and destroy Sodom. And the interesting thing is, when God decides he's going to destroy Sodom, it says in verse 17 of chapter 18, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Now I want to ask you guys a question. If Abraham is bringing in extra biblical rules to his church, and he's saying we shouldn't be with the people of the land, and he's saying he won't get paid from the king of Sodom, and he's staying separated, and Lot is obedient strictly to the commands of God and doesn't add any of that jargon to his life, how come when God was going to destroy Sodom, did he say, shall I hide from Abraham the thing that I have decided to do? How come he didn't say, shall I hide from Lot the thing that I have determined to do? How come Lot wasn't the person that got to talk to God? Well, you know the story. God tells Abraham, I've heard a bad report about Sodom and Gomorrah. And I am going down there now to see if it's as bad as things I was told are. And if it is, I'm going to destroy the city. And Abraham begins to plead for the city because Abraham knows that his brother's son is there. So Abraham begins to stand up for the city and say, God, what are you going to do if you go there and you find that amidst all the wickedness, there's some righteous people about so many? And God says, well, if I find the righteous people there, I'm not going to destroy the city then. And after a conversation with Abraham, where God speaks and Abraham continues to try everything that he can do to save the city, Abraham finally ends saying, if there's just 10 people in the whole city, if there's just 10 people in the whole city that are righteous, will you spare it? And God said, yes. And they left the conversation. You know the story. The angels went to Sodom. They found that the cry of the city was every bit as bad as God as had come to God's ears. They found the men of the city awful. They found Lot that even though he was a righteous man, his morals were corrupted. His children were gone. And he, in order to protect the angels that came into his house, offered to give his two daughters who weren't married to the wicked men of the city so that they could sleep with them for the night, all of them. ruin his two daughters. He offered his daughters out. By the way, I never heard God say anything to Abraham about protecting your daughters. So Lot was in keeping with the word of God at this moment. Okay, he had no rule from God not to give your daughters away to the wicked men of Sodom. All right? You guys, if you hear people talk about a church with extra biblical rules, you look that church up and you go there. I'm telling you, it's the churches that people say have extra biblical rules that are the ones that are on fire for God and that have some righteousness in them. Lot was trying to obey God, but he was falling on his face in the trial. So, it says in chapter 19, verse 29, "And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt." There came the moment that God had gone, he had done his inspection, he with his own searching gaze, who knows the hearts of every man, had looked at every person that was alive in the city of Sodom, and he hadn't found 10 righteous people. He hadn't found 10 saved people in Lot's church. And so he decided to overthrow, destroy the city. And when he did it, he remembered Abraham, and he brought Lot out. Now Lot came out of the city, and you guys know the story. He brought his wife and two of his daughters out with him. He lost his wife before he got to civilization with her, to the judgment of God. He lost his two daughters in the city because they would not leave with him. He lost his two sons-in-law in the city because they would not leave with him. In fact, as a matter of fact, Lot himself would not leave. The angels had to take Lot by the hand and drag him out of the city. And so Lot ends up in a mountain, in a cave, with his two daughters. But his two daughters have been influenced by a church that didn't believe in extra-biblical rules. And so his two daughters had no morals. And so they got together one day and they decided that their society was a little bit too small and their father needed some children. And so they decided they were going to get their father drunk and they were going to get pregnant by him so that they could carry on their family. And that's what they did. Now listen. In Genesis chapter 19, verse 37, it says, "And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. The younger she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammi, same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day." Now I want to pursue the children of Moab for a little while. Because God had made promises over and over and over again. God had made promises to Abraham about his seed. His seed, all the nations of the earth were going to be blessed. It was through his seed that the Messiah, the Christ, was going to come, who was going to reign forever and bring peace to the world as well as righteousness. Now here we are going to talk about Lot's seed, Moab. I want you to know that God looked to Lot as a righteous man. And God protected Lot's family. And in Deuteronomy chapter 2, God acknowledges Lot's seed. Chapter 2, verse 9. And the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, for I will not give thee their land for a possession, because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession. The children of Israel are now going to the promised land. They're going to destroy the whole land and possess it. But God warns them very specifically, don't you touch the land of Moab, because I have given it to the children of Lot. But you know what? There was a problem with the children of Lot. Even though God looked to them and took care of them and gave them land, they were not righteous. They did not serve God. And in Numbers chapter 24, I want to show you a little bit about their church. It was very impressive. You see, everybody has a religion. Everybody has a religion. You can go to the churches who have extra biblical rules. You can go to the churches who don't have extra biblical rules. You can go to the churches who have no rules at all. And you can go to the churches that aren't churches. Everybody has a religion. The children of Moab were religious too. And in fact, their preachers, Balaam to be exact, knew the God of Abraham. I want you to listen to his sermon. In Numbers chapter 24, we've just turned on the Christian radio. The liberal church sermon is playing now. Verse 15. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and shall destroy the children of Sheth. And Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And when he looketh on Amalek, and when he looked on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever. And he looked on the Kenites, and he took up his parable and said, strong is thy dwelling place, and thou puttest thy nest in the rock. Nevertheless, the Kenites shall be wasted until Asher shall carry thee away captive. And he took up his parable and said, alas, who shall live when God doeth this? And the ships shall come from the coast of Chittim and shall afflict Asher and shall afflict Eber, and he also shall perish forever. And Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. Now we're still dealing with Lot. We're still dealing with his people here. This is the people of Lot. This is the religion that Lot lived. This is where Lot's religion took his people. Balaam is their pastor. The king of Moab is at church when Balaam is preaching. The princes of Moab are at church when Balaam is preaching. Balaam is not giving them a watered-down message. Balaam is preaching the truth right from the Scriptures with all of his heart. He's given it to them. He says, those people over there that you don't love, the children of Israel, he says, they are going to have a star who is going to smite the corners of Moab. Balak, you king of Moab. They're going to smite the corners of Moab. And then he goes on and he talks about all the people that he can see everywhere, and he gives a curse against them all. Faithful preaching. I've heard that kind of preaching come from the liberal church too. But you know what? Balaam wasn't saved. Balaam was ungodly. And he says, alas, who shall live when God doeth this? Now you guys, Balaam didn't answer the question, who shall live when God doeth this? But I'm going to answer the question for you. Who shall live when God doeth this? You know who's going to be on the earth when God does all this? The children of Israel, with Jerusalem as the city reigning over the entire world, with Jesus Christ in it as the king. The seed of Abraham. That's who's going to live when God does all this. There's more. When God gave promises to Abraham about the fact that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through him, that he was going to come out of Abraham's seed who was going to rule the nations, that the land of Canaan he was going to possess forever. When God gave Abraham those promises, Lot had only one responsibility in life. Only one. To hold on to Abraham and do everything that he was doing until he died. That was Lot's only responsibility, was to be with the man who had the blessing of God. Now we see two people in the scriptures. I may be forgetting some others, but there's two very prominent places in the scriptures that we see this happen. One was with Elijah and Elisha. And Elisha followed Elijah around and stayed with him and stayed with him and stayed with him and stayed with him. And there came a time that Elijah wanted Elisha to separate because God was going to take Elijah home to heaven that day. And for whatever reason, Elijah said, "You stay here, I'm going on." And Elisha said, "I am not leaving you. I am not. No matter what, I am not leaving you." And he stayed with him, and he stayed with him. And Elijah asked him a number of times, "Stay here." And Elisha said, "I'm not. I'm staying with you." Now this is what Lot should have done to Abraham when Abraham came to him and said, "Hey, listen, there's fighting between us. We can't have this. Let's separate." Lot should have said the same words to Abraham that Elisha said to Elijah. But there's another person in the scriptures who did that. It was Ruth. Naomi said the same words to Ruth. She said, "I am returning to the land of Israel. You girls, Ruth and Orpah, you go back to your homes, go back to your people, go back to your religion, your church, your gods. Go back where you came from. I am going back to the land of Israel." Does anybody remember whose daughter Ruth was? She was Lot's daughter. She was one of the Moabites. And you know what Ruth said to Naomi when Naomi said, "Return and go"? She said, "Entreat me not to leave thee." She said, "Your people are going to be my people, and your God is going to be my God. I want Abraham's God." Now listen what happens when the children, when somebody of Lot's children join with Abraham and his people. Look at what happens. It's in the book of Ruth, chapter 2. Verse 12. "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." The blessing of Abraham, the blessing that God gave Abraham before he had a son, begins to come on Ruth's head because she has left the church that doesn't believe in extra-biblical rules. She's left the church that's washed out. She's left the church that chucked the Bible. She's left the church that doesn't believe in God. She's left the church that worships idols. She's now come to be a part of the people of God under God's covenant with Abraham. And can anybody tell me what happened to Ruth? Do you guys know what happens to Ruth? You know, one of the promises that God gave to Abraham was that in thee and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. And you know what? Ruth entered right into that and she took part in that. Because Ruth becomes the mother of the boy who is going to be the father eventually of David, who is eventually going to bring forth the promised seed that was promised to Abraham. When Lot and Abraham were the only two people together. When it was just Lot and Abraham in the land of Canaan. Before they parted. Before they decided that they couldn't work together. Before they formed two different churches. It was just Lot and Abraham together. And Lot promised, God rather promised all these blessings to Abraham. None of them came on the children of Lot. They came on the children of Israel. But Ruth taps into that blessing by leaving the people of Moab and going and joining the church with extra biblical rules. I'm joking every time I say that. You know that. There's no such thing as a church with extra biblical rules when they're applying the scripture to the way we choose to live on a day-by-day basis. When we take the things that God said to us and we apply them to the way we live our lives, that's not extra biblical rules. And I'll tell you what, you work on that for a little while and start taking the things that God says are right and the things that God says are wrong and you start applying them to your life, you'll have everybody coming and telling you you are a legalist and every other thing they can think of saying. Now let me tell you something. There's one thing that confuses people in this whole thing. Very important to catch. Lot totally messed his life up. He messed his family up. He messed his nation up. He messed the seed, all that came after. He messed everything up. Abraham goes on to form the nation of Israel that's going to bring the Messiah to the world. However, Abraham doesn't have everything right. Because you know the difference? You know the fact that even though Lot and Abraham parted ways and went two different directions, they were still both sinners? Abraham had sons that did not serve God. Abraham brought forth nations that did not serve God. Abraham's seed, the children of Israel, when they left Egypt to go to the promised land, the whole mess of them were slain in the wilderness. Because they were ungodly. What we are looking at here is not the fact that everything was right in Abraham's life. What we are looking at is the fact that Abraham followed God. Now, you can say anything you want. And this is the problem when we come to churches that have strict standards and teach hard on righteousness. The problem is people can come into those churches and they can pick them apart because they find problems there. You'll always find that. You'll always find that. But let me ask you just one simple question. Would you trade a church that's walking with God in spite of the fact that it has problems for Lot's life and family and posterity? Would you trade? There's nothing to be compared between the two. There's nothing to be compared. Those of you who are here who are young, and you still only drink milk, spiritually speaking, start digesting the Word of God. Because when you start digesting it, you start figuring out that the things that God says have a much deeper application to life than they appear immediately on the surface. And you'll start finding out as you pursue holiness that God takes you deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper in holiness. And there's another group of people. It's a very, very large group of people who will smirk at you. They will laugh at you. They will make fun of you. They will call you names. They will tell you that you are the one who isn't properly following the Bible. They'll tell you that it's your head that's messed up, that you're misapplying, misinterpreting. They'll tell you that you're teaching things that aren't in the Bible. But the fact of the matter is, when you watch those lives for 400 years and see where the fruit leads of the two different theories, as we just saw with Abraham and Lot, you can see the difference between the two theories and where the two theories lead. One leads to prosperity, and the other to destruction. And those people who make fun of conservative churches because they hold to all sorts of unbiblical standards, those people who make that fun, they go on and their lives look good. You know, Lot's life looked better than Abraham's for a while. He was a ruler in the city of Sodom. Abraham just tended sheep out in the field, lived in a tent. Lot had a house. Lot had four daughters. Abraham had no children. The list can go on and on and on and on and on. For a while, it looked like Abraham was messing up and Lot made the right choice. But it wasn't true. Those people who come and laugh at you, you can look at them, they're having their fun. They're living for the things of this life. Their lives look good. Their children are learning fun things. They've got parties going all the time. They're living the good life. There's plenty of money in the house. But under every bed, there's an idol. In every room, there's an idol. On every wall, there's an idol. And on those idols, they've got them so painted over with the scripture that it looks like the family is religious. But in reality, they have rejected the Word of God out of their lives. I can't help you young people. There's no hope for any of you here if you want to be like Lot. If you guys don't want to follow Abraham in the will of God, if you don't want to stay separated from the ungodly, if you don't want to stay separated from a church who doesn't believe the Bible and doesn't practice the Bible, you're going to go where you're going to go. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to tell you anyway what I'm saying, because there are some people in this room that maybe will be able to discern some of the difference between those who go all out for God and those who don't want to follow Him. And if you can get a little bit of a grasp on it, and you can start making the choices to stick with the Bible, stick with the Word of God, stick with the people who are teaching it and doing their best to live it. Abraham wasn't perfect. You can go through Abraham's life and find all sorts of faults. But you know, there was one thing. Abraham and Lot both gave up their children. But Lot gave his to God. And Abraham gave his to God on the altar. And Lot gave his to the men of Sodom. There was no comparison between the two lives. Let's pray. Father, I do ask this evening that you would break up some of the ground that is in this people.
I do pray, Father, that you would plow our hearts, get rid of the thorns, help us to see your truth. Help us, Father, to walk with you. Help us to love your word. Help us to love holiness. I pray that you would help us to see the difference between those who serve you and those who profess to. I do pray, Father, for revival. I pray that you would break our hearts open and that you would pour in the oil of the Holy Spirit and heal us from sin. Help us to walk with you. Amen.